Streaming 24/7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more.
TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth.
It's time for the Race Report.
Get ready! Let's go, get
your full-speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
You know, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts. Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwa.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
Montoya has run out of fuel, but here comes Carl Edwards. He's done it. He swept the weekend. And now, who's going to end up ahead in the chase? There's Jimmy. Here comes Harvick. They're both heading for the stripe. And they cross with Johnson in fifth. Harvick in sixth place. Kenseth seventh. And Denny Hamlin is limping home after having to make that stop in 12th position.
Marty Reed with a call on ESPN of Carl Edwards snapping a 70-race winless streak in the battle for the Sprint Cup getting very tight. Welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
Denny Hamlin was in position to virtually lock up his first title. Then he had to pit, and he was not happy about it. So instead, we have the closest championship fight heading into the final race in over 30 years. Let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Carl Edwards had not scored a victory in a Cup car since the final race of the 2008 season. But Sunday at Phoenix, Edwards finally brought an end to that 70-race drought by winning the Cobalt Tools 500. Carl was also helped out when Denny Hamlin, who led the most laps on the day, was forced to pit for a splash of fuel with 14 to go. That dropped him to 19th behind both Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick. Harvick had pitted the latest, so he was good to go on gas, but Johnson was in fuel conservation mode, choosing to gamble on a fuel stretch. As Hamlin charged through the field, Johnson kept slowing down. The race boiled down to, could Johnson make it to the end, and how much could Hamlin make up? Jimmy survived to finish fifth, Harvick right behind him. Hamlin could do no better than make it back to 12th place and will take a 15-point lead over Jimmy and a 46-point margin over Harvick into next week's season finale at Homestead. This, of course, is the closest points battle between the top two in the history of the chase. It's also the smallest gap between first and second heading into the final race since 1979. Darrell Waltrip led Richard Petty by 2 points heading into the season finale 31 years ago. And this is the first time since 2006 that more than two drivers still have a mathematical chance to secure a championship. With every spot in the final standings important as far as points fund payout is concerned, there will be some pretty good battles for positions outside the top three. Especially close is the battle for fifth through seventh, where only 11 points separate Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, and Greg Biffle. And Kurt Busch and Clint Bowyer will be racing for the final spot on the stage at the postseason awards ceremony. Busch currently holds down 10th place, but by only 5 points over Bowyer. Casey Kane will have surgery on both knees once the season wraps up. He says the operations are no big deal, just a case of cleanup on each knee. Surgery will sideline him for about 6 weeks, means he'll miss off-season testing, including the big preseason test at Daytona on the new pavement, but he should be ready to go come Speed Weeks at Daytona in February. And those are the racing headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, Denny Hamlin did everything he had to do except save a little more fuel. And Jimmy Johnson talking pretty big after the race, as if all the pressure's on Hamlin now. Jimmy, did you notice that until he had to pit, you couldn't catch him? And while it's easy to look at this and say Hamlin's never been in this position before, you know what? Jimmy's never been in this position before. He's never had to actually race at Homestead. And this is exactly what NASCAR wanted to see when they came up with the chase. It's going to be an exciting finish to the 2010 season, and we're all over it. Thanks for joining us here on the Race Report.
Happens on the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
Yes, you are. One more week, one more race to go, and the 2010 champion will be crowned. Who will it be? Will it be Denny Hamlin?
Jimmy Johnson?
Don't we wish?
No.
Possibly Kevin Harvick. Still mathematically in it? Don't think so. A lot's going to have to happen.
Not Kyle
for
either.
A lot's going to have to happen for Harvick to really win the championship. He could still do it, but both Hamlin and Johnson would have to have quite a bit of trouble. 46 points, that's quite a few positions he'd have to finish ahead of both of those guys. I kind of expect all three of them to finish in the top five like they did a year ago at Homestead. And we'll see what happens. Let the points fall where they may. But it's a lot tighter than we thought it might be, and Hamlin looked so in position to lock it up, lock it up last week.
I thought it was over.
Just didn't happen. Let's go ahead and take a look and see where your favorite driver finished last week in the Cobalt Tools 500.
Carl Edwards was your winner. Ryan Newman, second. Joey Logano, third. Fourth, Greg Biffle. Fifth, Jimmy Johnson. Sixth, Kevin Harvick. Seventh, Matt Kenseth. Eighth, Mark Martin. Ninth, Kurt Busch. Tenth, Jamie McMurray.
Jeff Gordon finishes 11th after clearly having the best car, the winning car. Denny Hamlin only finishes 12th after having to pit for fuel late. Kyle Busch was 13th. 14th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Martin Truex Jr. was 15th. 16th, Juan Montoya, as he ran out of fuel in the closing laps. 17th, Tony Stewart. 18th, A.J. Allmendinger. Jeff Burton. 19th, Bobby Labonte was 20th.
21st, Clint Bowyer. 22nd, Marcus Ambrose. 23rd, Regan Smith. 24th, Casey Mears, 25th, David Reagan, 26th, David Rudiman, 27th, Eric Almirola, 28th, Elliot Sadler, 29th, Paul Menard, and 30th, Casey Kane.
31st, J.J. Yealey, Sam Hornish Jr., 32nd, Robbie Gordon, 33rd, 34th, Travis Quappel, Scott Speed was 35th, 36th, Tony Raines, 37th, Dave Blaney, David Gilliland, 38th, 39th, Mike Bliss, Landon Castle, 40th, 41st, Terry Labonte, Brad Keselowski, 42nd, and Brendan Gaughan finishes 43rd. That's how they ran in the Cobalt Tools 500 at Phoenix. Well, it all comes down to this.
We actually have a race for the championship.
And we shouldn't have, really. And
no, it should be over.
It should be pretty much, Hamlin should be kind of in cruise control. Like
it should
Jimmy
be
Johnson's
one of those,
been.
All he's got to do is finish 42nd or better.
Yeah.
But not so.
No, he ends up finishing 12th as they had to pit late for fuel. You wonder, and I'm sure they had this calculated. They usually have this kind of thing calculated down to the, you know, the last teaspoonful of fuel.
Yep, they do.
But it puzzles me that they decided to pit pretty early with 14 laps to go, that they came into pit, and Johnson and Harvick were able to, well, Harvick had pitted later, so it wasn't a surprise
for
him.
Really,
I knew he was going to make it. But that Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson were able to make it to the end. I mean, you know, Edwards still won the race, and Johnson was able to hold off Harvick. So, I mean, they weren't just coasting at the end. They were still racing. You know, the thing is, it's kind of a catch-22. If you have a really, really good handling race car, like Denny Hamlin clearly did all day, the best car out there, a really good handling race car, what's the whole idea? You want your car to handle through the corner so you can drive in a little bit deeper, roll through, pick up the gas a little bit earlier. That's what beats the other guys.
Exactly.
Well, that also is not too conducive to saving fuel. So
no.
Quite often, the better your race car is handling, the more fuel you're going to burn because you're picking up the gas earlier than the other guys. And that's what you want. You want to, you know, get that speed off the corner, get the run on the straightaway. That's what makes a faster car.
Yep.
But it also makes a car that burns fuel, and that's what Hamlin didn't need.
You know, and what's unusual about this to me is the fact that the Gibbs cars usually do a little bit better on fuel mileage than most of the other teams. And that, I was a little confused by that. I don't know if it was a miscalculation on
fuel,
those guys.
Yeah, fuel mileage has not been a hallmark of Hendrick Motorsports over the years.
No, not at all. In fact, you remember a couple times when Jimmy just stretched it too far and ran out and lost a race because of it.
I was so hoping he was going to do that again.
Yeah, well, so was Mike Ford.
Yeah.
But it didn't
he
work
was.
Out.
They were right. The in-car camera. He was nearly. I don't know if he was shutting the engine off. It sounded like he was on the in-car that he was nearly was shutting the engine off. But I mean, if not, he was taken out of the gas, lifting his foot off the gas way, way, way early going into the corners. And rolling through. So, I mean, he was saving a lot of fuel there, but it looked like maybe he was probably picking up the throttle about the normal spots, and really, Harvick wasn't able to catch him. It was too bad. When Denny Hamlin went out there and did exactly what he needed to do, they went out there, led the most laps, were the dominant car all day. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, he's going to put the exclamation point on this week. He's going to go out here and win this race and, you know, pretty much go to Homestead to just ride around and celebrate his championship. And then it just didn't work out that way. And then I found it a little bit funny that Jimmy Johnson at the end of the race was awfully smug and smiley and saying, yeah, we've closed it up. It's only 50. We'll see how he handles the pressure now. And I'm thinking, Jimmy, were you just at the same race I was watching? He beat you into the ground the entire race. You need to be thinking about that. It didn't work out for him because, you know, a late caution sure would have been nice for Hamlin. But it didn't work out that way. Couldn't stretch the fuel mileage quite as far. But as far as performance and who was the best car, the 11 crushed the 48.
For 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row now. I'd be thinking about that if I was Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, thinking, we can't beat these guys, and we can't be counting on fuel mileage to help us out again.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be that smug on everything. You right now, you guys can't beat these guys. You can't beat Hamlin.
Nope.
So I think I'd just be keeping quiet.
Yeah, it's...
The other thing Johnson said I found interesting this week, yeah, you know, I've been in this position before. You haven't.
Not so much.
I think I looked up, I don't have it in front of me right now, I think 63 points is the smallest lead he's had going into the final race.
Oh, that's pressure packed,
yeah,
right there.
I mean,
there.
He has been, the last 4 years when he's won the championship, he has had a pretty comfortable lead going into the final race. He hasn't had to race. He hasn't had to race anybody.
Yeah.
And now he's the one chasing.
He's got to race for the championship.
Every position matters. Every second on pit road matters. I mean, everything. I mean, it's all on Sunday. And Jimmy Johnson, no, he has not been in this position before.
I wonder if all of Hendrick's pit crews will be standing by the 48 team this Sunday.
And they'll just, the fastest
if they drop
one,
a lug nut.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Get that guy from Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s crew over here real quick. Get him over here. He was a little bit quicker on that tire change. Yeah. You know, might as well just bring the best one. Whoever's doing the best that day, throw them in there.
Maybe Chad and Rick will buy a pit crew from somewhere if they screw up.
Maybe. You never know what may happen. But I know it's going to be exciting, whatever. And this is, as I said earlier, what NASCAR had in mind when they implemented the chase format back in 2004. And we haven't really had a finish like this since 2004. And, you know, for the last 4 years, it's been Jimmy Johnson going in there on cruise control. Not this time.
I think it's great.
It will be interesting for sure. All right, stick around and coming back with more on the Race Report.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
I feel like we've been, you know, a little bit better than Jimmy at the mile and a half recently. Yeah, I think we would have to make mistakes if we're going to lose this.
I think the biggest concern that I've got currently is that we haven't gone to Homestead to truly race yet. We've gone down there with a bit of a protective mindset, so I think that puts us a little bit behind compared to the other guys.
That's what the crew chiefs think about it heading into the final race. Mike Ford first, then Chad Knaus you hear from there. And that's what we've been talking about, even Chad saying it. Haven't had to go down to Homestead and race for anything.
Yeah, they've just gone down there to get a clean finish is all.
Yep, just stay out of trouble, ride around, and usually have gotten a good finish, a top five last year. But when the pressure is on everybody else and all you have to do is make sure you don't crash or have any big problems, it's a whole different feeling, whole different mindset, as Chad said, than this weekend is going to be. When you go down there, it's going to start with qualifying well.
Today.
You want to qualify well, get a good pit stall pick. That's huge. And, I mean, every position, every point matters. And it magnifies the pit crews, everything. You know, this is the Super Bowl. This is one race for the championship, essentially. Now, Denny Hamlin has a bit of a cushion. Johnson would have to beat him by a few spots unless he wins and leads the most laps, and the bonus points would cut it down considerably. But it's still Hamlin's race to lose. And again, as I mentioned before, the pressure has to be on the 48 team here because Hamlin, the 11 team, has outrun them the last couple of weeks, has been the much stronger team. It didn't work out last week because of the fuel mileage, but the 48 had nothing for them last week at all.
Not even close.
So they have to be thinking about that going into Homestead. Not only we have to keep our nose clean and stay out of trouble, but how in the world do we catch these guys? We've got to beat these guys, and I don't know that we can.
Here's the thing about this race coming up is last week, the three cars for Harvick, Johnson, and Hamlin were taken to the R&D Center in Concord and inspected a pre-race inspection.
Yeah.
I never saw if they were impounded by NASCAR, but they wanted to make sure these cars were right within tolerances. So I don't, you know, that's a dip. These race teams are built on so much routine and things happening on certain days at certain times. And those cars have been prepared now for 3 weeks. And I don't know if they've been able to take them back to the shops to work on them or if they need to be done then. I don't know. This is going to be interesting.
It will be very interesting. Many interesting things this weekend. Of course, we're kind of focusing on Denny Hamlin and Jimmy Johnson because only the 15-point gap there. Harvick certainly still alive in this, but 46 points out of the lead. Have to think Hamlin and Johnson are going to have quite a bit of trouble for Harvick to really seriously have a shot at winning the championship. It's 46 points is still quite a bit to make up when you're talking about trying to outrun guys that run so well every week. There's no reason to think that Hamlin and Johnson won't be top five, at least, unless they have some sort of trouble. And that's what Kevin Harvick's going to need them to stumble badly to really win the championship. But, yeah, he is still mathematically part of it, but it really comes down to Hamlin and Johnson. Some other good battles in the top 12, actually, for the top 10 spots. And, of course, these matter a lot. I mean, we're talking, obviously, about the championship, and that's what every driver wants to be racing for. But once you're eliminated from that, you still want to finish as high as you can in the final standings because the Sprint Cup points fund, you know, pays out quite a bit more money the higher you finish. So each position matters. And right now the tightest battles here, 6th and 7th place, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, actually 6th through the 5th through 7th through is Kyle. How in the world do they have? I'm sorry, I'm confused looking at this now, the way they put this points thing together. I'm not even sure what position I'm looking at. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 7th, 8th, 9th. There we go. You think just putting a 7th and an 8th and a 9th next to the drivers would be the easiest way to do it, but they're not doing that. Anyway, it's Gordon, Busch, Biffle separated by only 8 points. And so that certainly could change hands there, one of those spots, and every position matters there. And also very important for these drivers, you know, get one more chance to thank the sponsors in front of a TV camera, and that's the postseason awards ceremony coming up in Las Vegas
in a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's a big deal to them to get on stage and be able to thank their sponsors and do all that stuff one more time. And Kurt Busch and Clint Bowyer are battling for that 10th spot, the final spot on the stage.
Kurt Busch only
up by 5 points.
I do not understand why they put just 10 on the stage when 12 guys made the chase.
I've always thought that was odd.
That's stupid.
It's like that. Yeah, they kept it. Once they went to 12 drivers, they still kept it the top 10 that get to come up and speak at the awards ceremony.
Of course, looking at the last two here.
I guess it's one more thing to race for the guys that are at the bottom of the standings. One more thing, try and race into the top 10.
Jeff Burton is 504 points out of the lead. So does he even deserve to be in the chase at this point? But, well, and Clint Bowyer, you know, add whatever penalty was.
150 point penalty.
You know, I don't know. That just seems silly.
Still very, very tough break for Clint Bowyer. When you think of the fact that
I think this would have been a whole different chase if that hadn't happened.
Well, coming off the win at New Hampshire to start the chase, had he had that, got to keep that win and got to keep all those points, I think you'd see a different mindset out of that team moving forward,
absolutely.
Clearly. And I think with what happened, they were deflated, to say the least, and it took them a couple of weeks to kind of pull it back together. But I definitely think that's somebody we're going to hear from in the future, the very near future,
is
in, I think, serious championship contender in 2011. Yeah, I have no doubts either. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from the top finishers last week at Phoenix and the drivers that will vie for the championship this weekend at Homestead. That's all when we come back on the Race Report.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
You know, something I didn't even realize, but it's kind of a historic thing. This could be Denny Hamlin goes ahead and wins this first championship for Toyota, first Sprint Cup championship for Toyota.
Yes, it would.
They already have secured championships in the Camping World Truck Series and the Nationwide Series, but this would be the first Cup title for Toyota, and they haven't really been in the sport all that long.
No, so they haven't.
It's pretty good thing they've got going
which
there.
Which is one of the reasons.
Pretty quickly.
Which is one of the reasons they went after Joe Gibbs Racing when they did.
Yeah. And it's really moved along pretty well for them. I mean, Kyle Busch has been strong, and of course, Tony Stewart was still there for a while, and then with Joey Logano coming up, and now Denny Hamlin, who has turned into maybe the driver the last year or two. Of course, Jimmy Johnson, still the champion until somebody beats him, but I think somebody's going to beat him this year. I really do. I've been very impressed.
So.
I didn't think he could do it. I know I said a few weeks ago that I expected Jimmy Johnson to just go on and win like he always does and always has, but the 11 team has really impressed me the last couple of weeks with it on the line. Those guys have gone out there and just beat the other guy's brains out.
Yep.
And, you know, it didn't work out for them last week. The fuel mileage didn't quite work in their favor. But they did everything right up to that point. And again, maybe because their car handled too well, that it burned too much fuel, because, I mean, they were faster than everybody else out there. He was going to win that race. I have no doubt he would have gone ahead and won it there near the end if he hadn't had to pit for fuel. So it just didn't work out for them, but they have performed better than anybody the last 2 weeks, holding on to the points lead. And, you know, if things had worked out just a little bit differently, he would be going into this weekend at Homestead with the championship virtually locked up. But that's not the case, and that makes for a more exciting Sunday for race fans, that's for sure. Let's go back last week, as is usually the case over the final couple of races. The guy that wins the race, if he's not the championship leader, you kind of forget about him. Who won last week, real quick? That's what I thought. Carl Edwards was our winner last week at Phoenix.
The race started, I felt like we had the best car, and then here comes Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson, and they really, I think their cars were better in the middle part of the race, and Bob made really good adjustments. Then the track came to us a little bit. Then the thing that really saved us was our pit stall. You know, and that's something we talked about a little bit here on Friday. You know, we understand that we have to qualify better, and that first pit stall is what kept us up there with that track position. So, you know, my guys did a good job on pit road. Pit stall was good. Bob made good adjustments. And then at the end for, you know, to be able to make the fuel stretch, you know, or make the fuel mileage work out, that was a little stressful, but it worked.
Carl Edwards, of course, already has his signature backflip that he does anytime he wins a race. But now he's kind of come up with this new thing where he goes up into the stands.
Yeah.
He started that with his nationwide victory the week prior in Texas. And he went ahead and did it at Phoenix again after his cup win. He talks about how this has come about.
Everybody's really excited, and I had never really considered doing that until that gate was open at Texas, until the hole in the fence there at Texas was right in front of me. I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. The wrestler, John Cena, he was at a Gillette commercial shoot with us a few years ago, and he did that. There were some fans there, and they just couldn't believe he did it, so that's kind of what sparked the idea. And those are moments, those two times I've done that, I'll never forget those. It's really neat to go up there. I would highly recommend it to anybody. It feels really neat.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, he's the only driver I can really picture doing that. I can't see, I'm trying to think of any other driver. Jimmy Johnson would never do that. He'd be afraid somebody would mess his hair up.
Stewart would.
Tony might.
Because you remember when he
would climb the fence.
Climb the fence.
Yeah. Then he said he said, I'm too fat and old to do that. Again. So, yeah, I could maybe see Tony doing it. Dale Earnhardt Jr., you'd never get him back if he did that. Of course, he'd have to win a race.
That ain't happening.
No. Yeah. I just don't see these guys, you know, at Kansas here at our track, our home track here. I've just seen too many guys. Kansas Speedway has this great fan walk area where they have a slot cut in the fence, and the drivers can walk along. The fans can't get into the garage, but they can pass things through, and drivers can sign them. I can count on one hand. Now, I've been going there since they started racing there in 2001. I can count on one hand the drivers that I've seen up there actually signing autographs at that fence.
And who's one of the best?
The one I've seen multiple times is Jeff Gordon.
Yep.
And not to say nobody else has done it, but I've walked through there a lot of times, and he's the only one I've seen more than once, and I've seen so many drivers walk by there and ignore it, act like they don't hear the fans screaming.
Yeah,
I've
seen drivers walk down that fence and not even look over at the fans.
Oh yeah, and it's too bad. So I mean that's I think too many of these drivers, you know, I always think it's funny with athletes in general at this level, professional athletes that are covered nationally in the news, that they seem to forget and seem to develop a real disdain for the people that are most responsible for them being in the position they're in. That's their fans and the media who report on what they do and have a big hand in how popular they become quite often. But they just don't seem to want to be bothered with them a lot of times. You know, so how many athletes that snip at the media and don't have time for their fans, don't want to bother with them?
Yep.
And it's really too bad, but sadly that is the case. But I think that's a pretty cool deal what Carl Edwards has done the last couple of weeks, going up there into the stands and, you know, celebrating the win with the fans and sharing it with them. I think that's been really cool. I would like to see more drivers do that. And Kyle Busch probably wouldn't do it. He's afraid he'd get beat up.
Beat up, yeah.
Anyway, I was trying to think of that early. What other driver currently in Sprint Cup racing could you see doing that? Maybe Casey Kane? I could see Casey maybe doing something like that. Maybe Hamlin would do it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if anybody follows Carl's lead and tries that in the future. Stick around. Coming back with more when we return on the Race Report.
Can almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the Race Report.
We did a good job of closing the gap today and putting all that pressure right on the 11, and that's the best we could have hoped for today, if not being ahead. That would have been a little bit better, but either way, we got a lot of pressure on those guys.
Yeah, the guys that beat your brains in again all race long, we did a great job of closing the gap. You didn't do anything except not run out of gas. You know, that's what, I don't know. I guess ultimately it's where you finish at the end, no matter how you do it, and they did beat them. But, again, I was very impressed with the 11 team and the way they went out and performed at Phoenix.
Yeah.
A track that Denny Hamlin admittedly going in said had been an up-and-down track for him. He felt he was at a disadvantage heading into that race because Harvick and Johnson had historically run better there, and all they did was go out and pretty much dominate the day until...
Yeah.
Fuel strategy did not work out for them at the end of the race, and he ends up finishing 12th, and we have a close points battle. But again, I think Jimmy can say what he wants, but I think internally that team knows these guys have kicked our butt the last 2 weeks.
The pressure is on him.
We have to beat them to win this
because
they're ahead.
They're spotting Hamlin 15 points going into this final game, final race of the season. Pressure's on them. They have got to be absolutely flawless.
Yeah, they do, because they have to beat them. It's like I said, Hamlin's got the lead at this point. Even if it's a fairly small lead, he has the lead. So the 48 has to beat the 11, and I don't know. Denny Hamlin, right after the race at Phoenix, wasn't real happy, and he said, you know, he feels pretty good going to Homestead because historically he's been good there, but, man, anything can happen.
If you look at stats, it's good, and it looks good for us. If you look at history, it looks good for us. But you never know what can happen. This stuff just happened today, can happen next week. So I'm just going to continue to keep digging as hard as I can go and try to beat those guys. You know, it's going to be tough. Those guys are going to be good. We see that every week. They're top five. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to take a win.
Going to take a win. Denny says, he's won there before. He just needs to go out this weekend at Homestead and just run like he's always run at Homestead.
Well, I think for us, it's about going out and performing like we have, every Homestead race I've ever ran. The two bad finishes that I do have is my very first start at Homestead in 2005. I got caught up in someone else's wreck, and the other was a fuel miles race. Every other time we've been in the top three, I actually remember just about every year Kevin's, right there with us at the end of the race. So I know he runs well there, and so for me, just go out there and pretend that, I got to win the race, and that's all there is. I'm in a good spot knowing that I just have to, I can control my own destiny and not have to worry about anything else, and if we win the race, it's a mute point.
See, that is where, sorry, it always cracks me when somebody says it's a mute point. Anyway, that's the English professor in me coming out. And Denny, that's the thing. Denny is right, and I'm not really an English professor. I don't know why I said that.
All they got to do is listen to you speak.
Yeah,
and
I know
that.
Sam gave me this goofy look, and I was kidding about that. But that's the thing. Denny is in control. All he has to do is race the best he can, and it doesn't matter what Johnson and Harvick do. Where Johnson and Harvick can be doing everything, and they're going to constantly be in, where's the 11? Where's Hamlin? Where's the 11? Because, I mean, Jimmy can win the race, and if Denny finishes right behind him, Denny still wins the championship. So,
and if
qualifying is going to be very important. You want to start up front. You want to try and get those bonus points, 5 bonus points for leading the lap. Get those knocked out early. And, if Hamlin goes out, and he's been qualifying better lately, too. If Hamlin goes out and gets those down first, then the pressure's on Johnson, and especially Harvick, to try and match that and lead a lap. So,
and if Denny wins, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean
all he's got to do is win.
Yeah. He is in control of his own destiny, that's for sure. Jimmy did talk this week about the fact that, this year, he's not the leader heading into the final race.
Well, for us, I mean, we have nothing to lose. This guy does.
It's a much different perspective for us. You know, I've been here in the past with even a big points lead and have been concerned about dropping the ball. I mean, when you're defending, your mind starts to change and you start to think about the what ifs. When you're chasing, it's more about what do I need to do? So it's been a much more relaxed week for me, even though I'm down 15 points than I've experienced before.
He can say what he wants, but I mean, they want to win another championship. I mean, I guess you could look at saying, you know, Jimmy's got four. He's got four Sprint Cups already sitting at home. Danny Hamlin doesn't have one. You don't get that, you know, you don't get many chances to win championships.
Let me throw this out there.
Throw away.
Jimmy's talked about being there before and blah, blah, blah.
Which, of course, he hasn't. Not in this position. I'm sorry.
Not in this position. But yet, his over-the-wall pit crew has never been here before.
No. Nor has Hamlin's.
But Hamlin's crew has been with him all season.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. There's some things out there that, I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting.
How many times have we said that already today in this show? Very interesting. And it's fun. This is what we wanted to see all year. You know, we've said all year long, let Jimmy stumble, let him struggle, because I would like to see somebody else win the championship, as I think many people would. But number one, first and foremost, what I want to see is an exciting season finale. We have that.
We do have that.
We're going to have
sure.
that. So no matter what happens here, at least we have the final race matters. I mean, the final race is for all the marbles, which is what we wanted to see since the... Well, we like to see that every year, and we haven't seen it much, and we've only seen it one other time since they implemented the chase format. We see the season come down, the championship come down to the final race. And, I mean, that's really all we've wanted to see all year long. Now, yep. I would very much, now that we're in this position, I'd very much love to see somebody other than Jimmy Johnson win it. Because I think I agree with Harvick from a couple of weeks ago. The sport needs it, and I would like to see it. So.
I would like nothing better than to see a 48 car on lap 25 smoking down the back stretch and saying, well,
we got
championship
four.
Hope goes up in smoke.
The drive for five, no longer alive. All right, stick around. Coming back and wrapping up the race report after this.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
And as we wrap it up here, our penultimate show of the 2010 season, as we get ready to head into the season finale at Homestead this weekend, just a couple of other little odds and ends this week. Casey Kane is going to have surgery on both knees after the season ends. Maybe he figures that'll make him twice as good as Denny Hamlin.
That word for Hamlin.
Yeah. Boy, you know, doesn't that seem like forever ago?
Casey Kane needs to do something.
When Denny Hamlin, remember, kind of struggled at the beginning of the season and then opted for the knee surgery. And ever since then. Although they went through a little rough spell for a while. You think back to I've been doing that a lot this week because the NASCAR season's so long. And by the time you get to Homestead, the end of the season, It seems like Daytona was 5 years ago.
Yep.
You know, but going back to early in the season when Hamlin struggled for a little bit, then had the knee surgery and promptly went out and won a couple of races and actually won five races in a 10-race stretch. Hamlin picked up five of his victories on the season in a 10-race stretch in the middle of the year. But then they hit kind of a rough spell where they weren't really doing much, not even finishing the top 10. The 48 kind of went through a little tear there for a while too, and then they kind of cooled off. The guy that's been solid all season long from the drop of the green flag at Daytona until now has been the 2019, Kevin Harvick. And that's why if it were not for the chase format, if we were still under the old point system,
he'd be the leader.
He'd have this thing locked up and we wouldn't care going into Homestead. He'd have a 200 and some point lead and it would be over. But that isn't the way it works anymore. Just ask Jeff Gordon. And he'd have a couple of more championships under the old system. But it all comes down to this weekend at Homestead, and it is exciting. Other thing this week, remember a few weeks back, Lance McGrew basically got a vote of confidence as far as remaining the crew chief of the 88 team and Dale Earnhardt Jr. But now this week, they come out and Jr. says he doesn't want to talk about it till the season's over. But, you know, kind of reading between the lines, I think Lance McGrew will crew chief his final race this weekend at Homestead, his final race for Dale Earnhardt Jr. anyway.
What is Papa Yuri? Where's he at? What's he doing?
I don't even know. He's doing something in the Nationwide Series, I think, for them. He's still working, obviously, still with Hendrick Motorsports.
Is he with Hendrick or is he with JR Motorsports?
Maybe he is with JR Motorsports. Maybe he is doing something over there.
I got to tell you, who was the crew chief when Junior had the most of his wins?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've talked about that before. That if you want Junior to do well, I think that's the move that needs to be made. You need to put Tony Urie Sr.
I think
back atop the
pit
box.
He is the one person that can come in there and kick his butt and get him in line and get him focused.
But maybe maybe he doesn't have, they're going to give the 48 crew. Producer Paul puts up their Junior gets the 48 crew.
Chad Knauss sitting on the top of the pit box. Jimmy didn't think he could win with Chad, so Chad went to the 88 team, and Lance McGrew is now crewing four.
Well, the thing is, I definitely think Lance McGrew is on the pit box for the 88 team for the final time this weekend at Homestead.
Oh,
like he will not be back. And really, why would he be? Things have not gone any better with him than they did with Tony Urie Jr. Early this season, I thought my bold prediction of Jr. returning to the chase, I thought it was going to be the triumphant comeback. Yeah, about as well as our Mark Martin pick. I thought it was going to be the triumphant return of Jr. I just thought they'd turn it around, and they've just been as bad as they've been the last couple of years. There was no turnaround there at all. In fact, maybe for a while they were even worse than they'd ever been. I mean, just nothing. And it's kind of sad. I mean, the most popular driver in the sport, the guy that helps drive this sport, I mean, he needs to do well. He needs to do well for the sake of the sport and the good of the sport. And I think something else that would be very good for the sport is somebody hoisting the Sprint Cup Sunday at Homestead as the sun's setting that's not named Jimmy Johnson.
I think it's going to happen.
I think it's going to, too, because you know what? I think, and I predicted it last week, and maybe the fuel mileage spoiled it, I think Denny Hamlin goes out and wins the race on Sunday. I think they will do that.
I think Kevin Harvick will.
Think Harvick will win the race?
Yep.
Really?
And to kind of cloud up the picture of the championship. I really do.
If he does that, I expect Hamlin and Johnson to finish right behind him, and it won't matter as far as the championship hopes of Kevin Harvick. But as we've said about 15 times already, it's going to be
closing lap. Jimmy's on Denny's bumper, trying to get past him.
Does he
take him out?
We'll see. That'd be interesting, too. All right, thanks. We'll be back to wrap it up with you next time right here on The Race Report.
Good job, guys. Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.